Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our third final hour of the Pat Miller Program. Glad you guys are here. Well, we've had a bevy of different politicians from different levels. We talked to Attorney General Todd Rokita in the first hour today about his Bill of Rights for parents so that they can not let schools just walk over the top of them. In the last hour, we talked with Mike Braun, senator from the state of Indiana, who is an often visitor on our program. Enjoy that. But our regular guest is now here a day early. We have 3rd District Congressman Jim Banks with us. And Congressman, good afternoon to you, sir. And my understanding is that you have agreed to also be here with us tomorrow at your regular time.
That's right, Pat. Looking forward to being back tomorrow as well.
Yep.
I'm in between votes right now. At some point, I got to awkwardly drop my phone and go vote in the House Republican cloakroom, but it's good to be with you today as well.
I was going to say, so if all once there's a beep and a click, and then all once I'm talking to Tanner, that will tell me that something happened.
That's right.
So yesterday, how important is this? Is it your view, as one of the headlines that I saw, is it your view that yesterday in the Senate that Republicans saved and preserved the American vote?
Well, in a big way, in the Senate, beating back on this disastrous election reform bill that would nationalize our elections, take power away from the states, and give Democrats an advantage on Election Day. The fact that it failed on a 50-50 vote in the Senate is good news for the future of our republic. So that's the good news. Bad news is this is the top priority for the Democrats. That's why they called it HR1 in the House and S1 in the Senate. So they're not going to give up that easily. It's also important to note, Pat, that all the talk about Joe Manchin being a Republican in disguise in the Senate just isn't true because he voted for it.
Yep.
So we all thought he was some kind of a holdout, but at the end of the day, he's going to bow to the pressure of Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrat leadership and do what they tell them to do every single time. And we should keep that in the back of our minds over the next year and a half when we move forward on other issues.
Well, and that's exactly right. It's hard to know. You know how devious things are behind the scenes. So was Joe Manchin put out there by the Democrats as a temptation, a tantalization that maybe, in fact, he would perhaps step across the line and vote with Republicans so that when he didn't, it would have devastated the Republicans, but I don't think it devastated us. I mean, we're not going to go crazy hoping that everything with Manchin goes well. I personally believe that now, because West Virginia is basically a red state, and there's a lot of blue collar workers there, including miners. And I've got a funny feeling, coming the next go around, he might be in a little bit of jeopardy there in West Virginia.
Well, West Virginia is not just a red state; it's a Trump state.
Yeah,
they love Donald Trump in West Virginia, and Joe Manchin has tried to walk a fine line. But when you see his voting record, especially days like yesterday, you see where he truly stands, and that's a dangerous place to be in a state like West Virginia. But at the end of the day, like a lot of these guys that I meet around here on Capitol Hill, Pat, Joe Manchin loves the attention. So the more that he can get articles printed literally all over the place about how he's some kind of a kingmaker or the most powerful senator because somehow he's a swing vote, the more attention he gets, the more he likes it. But yesterday just goes to show Democrats do what Democrat leaders tell them to do. And, I think I happen to think Republicans are a lot different. We understand that Republicans are, we respect each other's independence, that we represent the states and the districts that we come from. And on the Democrat side, they carry a big stick and they tell their members what to do, and oftentimes they fall in line and do what they're told.
Yeah, that's right. I think that in the next 24, 48 hours, I think we'll see a lot of kickback from AOC and the like. They're on the far left of the Democrat Party, how we've got to stop all this, that the people didn't try hard enough, that we needed to push it further. Nancy Pelosi let us down. Chuck Schumer let us down. And then they'll find some reason to set the next bonfire and chase after that. On the good note, there is something coming up here in the very near future. The former president of the United States, 45th President Donald Trump, has, I think, decided he's getting a little sick and tired of seeing his wall demolished and everything that he did to stop illegal immigration, to see it all reversed. and then to have his administration drug through the sewer as if all of this immigration problem is their fault. He's going back down to the border, Donald Trump is, and there's going to be a congressional delegation that's going to go. And my understanding is the 3rd District Congressman from Indiana is one of those people.
Well, that's right. I'm leading the group as chairman of the Republican Study Committee, and at the request of President Trump, I've rallied a dozen or so of my colleagues to join me and go down to the border and join President Trump. This is a really big moment, Pat, because the President Trump is going to go to the border and talk about how things are different today than what they were when he left office. It was under control on Donald Trump's watch. It is the biggest crisis at the border in American history on Joe Biden's watch. The Democrats have created this crisis, and it was working under Trump. It's broken under Biden. We're going to go down there and highlight it. You know, as you know, I was at the border a couple of months ago. I was with President Trump a week ago, and we talked about this trip, and he reached out a few days ago and asked me to go along, and I was happy to accept his request, and we're going to go down and talk about what it's going to take to fix the border once again and what the Democrats are doing wrong. But the bigger piece of irony today, Pat, is that Vice President Harris, who pointed to be the border czar by Joe Biden, who wanted to kick the can on the issue, now lo and behold, because Donald Trump is going to the border next week, she's going to the border finally on Friday. So right. It shows you the power of Donald Trump just drawing attention to this crisis, that now Vice President Harris is finally doing what she should have done a long time ago, go to the border and see what's really going on down there. If she does, she's going to see what we've all seen, that this is a crisis of their own making, and it's common sense. There are common sense solutions to fixing the border crisis, not just from building the wall, but ending some of the things that the Biden administration has done to reverse Trump policies, like the Remain in Mexico policy that was working. It's common sense to go back to what was working under Trump, and if we do that, we can fix this crisis in an instant.
Yes, she's going to the border, in that technically she's going to a city that's at the border, which is El Paso, Texas. And it's not to say that El Paso hasn't suffered as well down there, but if you were going to look at the cities and places along the Texas border that have genuinely, truly suffered, I don't know that El Paso is the first place you'd go.
Well, you go where President Trump is taking us next week, which is McAllen, which is where in broad daylight you have hundreds of illegals who are crossing the border every single day. And when I was at the border a couple of eight weeks ago, I was at the Del Rio part of the border south of San Antonio with my friend Tony Gonzalez, who represents that part of the country and of the state. And you can't go anywhere on the border without recognizing, if you listen to any Border Patrol agent, any one of them, they'll tell you that the border was secure under Trump and it's broken under Biden. If Vice President Harris talked to any Border Patrol agent, that's exactly the message that she's going to hear.
Well, I think they're going to end up hearing it anyway, because I'm pretty sure if Donald Trump is not stupid, and I don't think that he is, my suggestion is there'll be pretty good camera and audio people down there with him on the border. Because I have a funny feeling the Border Patrol, not the Republicans, not the politicians, not the representatives and the senators, the Border Patrol workers, when they see Donald Trump at that border, I bet he's going to get a pretty good response.
He knows how to draw attention. And that's why I'm glad he's doing this. When I was with him up at Bedminster a couple of weeks ago with my colleagues, we talked about this. President Trump told us that he kind of stepped back. He thought that was appropriate to do for a while. Any outgoing president or a leader in any office, it'd be natural for him to do that. But now he feels a burden to get back out there and draw attention to what was working on his watch and what's broken on Biden's watch, and the border crisis is top of the list.
Now, this trip that you're looking to take is going to be sometime next week?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Kamala Harris is going as the vice president, and President Biden's borders are. Didn't know you could hold a title and do so little to maintain it. But she's going to show up on Friday. I think that their thought is, maybe that, when they heard that Trump was going, that they would preempt. I don't think they can do anything in El Paso, Texas, that will eclipse in any way what it is that Donald Trump's going to do.
That, no question about it. I mean, every media outlet in the country, maybe in the world, is going to be there next Wednesday when we're at the border with President Trump. And we're taking a few of them along, Pat. I mean, I've invited media outlets all over Capitol Hill. Go with us. Go see what we're going to see. Because you can't go there and ignore that this really is a crisis of the Democrats' own making. And that's why I want to take the media along. I mean, for too long, the mainstream media has ignored this story. They've ignored the crisis. You're only hearing about it in right-wing and conservative media.
Yep.
But what President Trump is going to do next week is draw national attention to what's really going on at the border, and that's why his visit's so important.
Now, listen, when you guys are down there, you point out everything. You make sure everybody understands what they're looking at. Whatever you do, don't cackle, because I think Kamala will have that covered. She'll do all the cackling that needs to happen. We live in an idiotic world. Do you know that?
I'll put on my serious face.
Your serious, non-cackling persona. Congressman, thank you so much. We will talk to you again tomorrow, and I'll be talking to Buckley and some of your other people there about the exact things we want to cover tomorrow. But this is so much in the news right now, I felt like it was important to have you on. I appreciate you being there, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow evening.
Thank you, Pat. Have a good day.
Yeah, you
Podcasts by Federated Media.